God, and we will sing, for we'll sing hallelujah by and by.
That's true. I believe that's true. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. But if you don't go to heaven, you won't be singing hallelujah. It's critically important that we understand the Bible is critically important to every sound thinking human beings. We should be curious as we are born into this world and grow and mature. We should be curious regarding how did all of this start. We know that man didn't start it all, for sure. You don't need a scholar to tell you that. When you look at the sun and look at the moon, you know that's something that man could not have made and put up there. And as you just look at the world, wisdom says, as you grow older, become more mature, that you would seek to find an answer. And more importantly, to seek and find the answer. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, God never sleeps. He never tires. He knows everything. He sees everything. He hears everything. Wherever he is, and that's everywhere. But he has, because of his love, we exist. Because of his love, the world exists. This he did for us, this, the world. We are the ones who contaminated it. And then, after we sinned, disobeyed, he didn't destroy us. He only had two. From our limited observation and consideration, we said, oh, why don't he just make those two disappear and get another two? See if the next two will obey his will. He didn't do that. He was willing to sacrifice his son, begotten, only begotten son, for our benefit. For 33 years. But that's not all. His son, he saw his son in agony, his only begotten son, in agony, as he was praying to him in the garden, shedding tears because he was about to suffer that which he had never suffered. A cruel death. All of this for us. Would you believe that knowing, having that information as human beings, would you not think that we would all want to thank God every day of our life? Yes, sir. And it wouldn't be a hardship. It wouldn't be a hardship to do whatever he asks, because we still exist because of his love. So why is it difficult to worship him on the first day of the week. And what about evening worship? Once is too many, two times the same day is too much for some folks. Do we understand, do we realize what it costs God to provide us with this opportunity? And he says, if you be faithful, I'll have you to come and live with me forever. Never to die again. Having the information first, not afterwards. Why not? Why not? We do all we can to stay on the earth in reasonably good health as long as we can. He gives us a guarantee of earth with him forever. Now, we're going to live forever somewhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you see, once the judgment and eternity is completed, You can't change your membership. Well, I'm upset with so-and-so. I'm going to move. I want to move on the east, to the east side flames. But it's just as painful over there as it is on the west side. Think. I'm not going to live on planet Earth forever. God has given me a glorious opportunity to be reunited with him and have the glorious privilege and opportunity to come and live with him in glorious splendor forever. No more sickness. No more dying. Doesn't that sound good? Praise God. This morning, I feel good. I feel good. Let us go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, in order to go to Ephesians chapter 1, you're going to need a Bible. That might come as a surprise to you, but you're going to need a Bible. Did you bring your Bible? I know you're turning pages, but just put your finger where you have it and just hold it up, if you would, please. If you would, please. If you would, please. All right. We have almost everybody. But one sister's having, she has a purse, but she's trying to find it in there, in that purse. We'll give you an A for effort. Over here. If you brought your Bibles, would you hold them up, please? Okay. Thank you much. We'll give you a C+ over here. We'll give you a C- over here. Your Bibles, please. Would you hold them up, please? Oh, look at here. There's an A over here. Thank you, Lord. You need a Bible. Even if you buy a talking Bible. I think they sell talking Bibles now. If you bought your Bibles, would you hold them up, please? This little one was just waiting for me to say the words. A+, two A pluses. We don't want to do anything less. Hold your Bibles up, would you please? Would you please? I'm not sure about this group, and I think the group members having trouble being deciding whether he has a Bible. I didn't mean to say he. Now hold him up again, folks, so my eyes can see him. I'm past 22. Okay, we'll give you an A. I don't think I need it. Lord, I don't need to put the plus on there, do I? Oh. Please. Axiomatic. Follow the examples of the A pluses. You don't want to almost get there. You don't want to almost when the Lord calls your name at judgment. See, if you just hadn't done so-and-so on that day, you could come and live with me. But you did it. Depart from me. Make your calling and election sure. Don't play games with yourself. You don't leave home without your purse, and you don't, ladies, and you don't leave home without your wallet. Let's come to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We serve a loving God. We serve also a jealous God. He loves his children. And from the human perspective, you want a subject? You can pick one. Chosen of God. Those who are members of the Church of Christ. You need to understand and value it. God has chosen me to be his adopted son, if you're a male, and if you're a female, to be his adopted daughter. When you obey the gospel and the church and you're in the Church of Christ, you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins, God at that point adopts you as his child. Don't forget that. He adopts you. I'm the adopted. Therefore, every parent, earthly parent, sensible earthly parent, want their children to follow their instructions, to be obedient. God is nothing less. And he has gone out of his way to bless his children. Amen. And I was drawn again to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And it's exciting, isn't it? The chosen of God. Let's start with verse 1, but I'm not going to read all of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you. Peace from God our Father. And he's excited about this because he's heard about these Ephesians. Grace be to you and to peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings that heaven has to afford. Isn't that wonderful? Even with the blessing of being invited to come and live with us forever. According as he hath chosen us through him, his son. God decided, knew. Nothing caught God, or nothing caught nor catches God by surprise. When he created the universe, Genesis chapter 1, created human beings. He knew. It didn't surprise him. He knew that there would be disobedience. According as he, verse 4 again, according as he hath chosen us in Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be who? How? That he chose human beings to be obedient to him. That's why we exist. To please God. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, we should be holy, we should be without blame before him and loving being holy for the Lord. Because without the Lord, we would not even be here to disappoint him. Having predetermined, your verse 5, having predestinated, had predetermined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He chose us before he created us. I'm going to create them. I'm going to adopt them. They're going to be my children. Don't you understand? There is no greater privilege or honor that another human being can place upon you. So you are somebody special. If no other human being has to say anything to you, wants to say anything to you, if you walk with the Lord. Look at the text. Having predetermined, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Why? Because he wanted to. Why are you hesitating? No, I'm not hesitating. I'm just waiting. As the old time preachers used to say, I want to let that soak in. Oh, church. Look at the latter part of verse 5. According to the good pleasure of his will, God wanted you, still wants you to be a faithful child of his. Why would you want to please everything else and everybody else and not please God? They're going to die, you're going to die, and face God. He's going to judge us. He's going to make the decision based upon what you did, what I did, while we lived on planet Earth. So our goal should be pleasing God first. Well, you see, it's like this. No. No excuses. We can offer no excuses for not being faithful to God. Why are you saying that, Brother Brown? Based upon what the Bible teaches and based upon the examples that we have. The children of the Lord's church was established in Acts chapter 2. And from Acts chapter 2 to the last book of the Bible, we're reading about folks who died all because they were Christians. Didn't want to disappoint their Heavenly Father. He had done too much for them. And what he's offering in exchange, I refuse to turn it down. Verse 5 again. Having predetermined or predestinated us unto what? The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. John 3:16, you used to say it in Sunday school. You remember? What John 3:16 say? That he did what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him but have asking God. God adopted us to be his children. Why? Because he wanted to. What does that infer? That infers that he created us to live here forever. Of course, he knows everything. But he created us to live here forever in obedience to him. But he already had another plan because he knew we were going to disobey him. Why? Because of his love. Why do we have trouble loving someone like that? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath done what? Made us accepted again by his Father. In the beloved, in whom we have what? We have forgiveness. We have redemption through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of our sins. Why? Because He chose to do it. He only had two. That when once they disobeyed Him, there were only two human beings on planet Earth. He had all kind of options. And not send His Son. He created those two. They disobeyed. Create two more. He didn't do that. He manifested His love. Why do we have trouble with dealing one with another? Human beings, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about us. No. I don't want to fool with her no more. I'm going to change my membership. Well, don't forget, you're going to go before God to be judged in the final roundup of human affairs. Wherein He hath abounded, verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He is saying, the text is saying, God made a wise decision because He's God. He made a great decision wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom. Having made known unto us the mystery, created us, let us live, and as a result of disobeying Him, gave us a way to come back to Him. And now, look what it says. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He has manifested or designed all by Himself. God had a purpose for not destroying us and starting over. He wanted us and wants us to realize who He is, whose we are, and the love that He has for us.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the verses you learn as a little child. John 3:16, is it not? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Having made known unto us, verse 9, the mystery of His will. Why? According to His good pleasure. You know, if God had thoughts the way sometimes some human beings have in the Lord's church, we would have been gone. We would have been gone. But God still loved us. And He's perfect and still loved us. Why can't we get along one with another? Oh, I got to change my membership. Why? God didn't throw us away. You're better than God. Amen, preacher. I like reading these verses again. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure. Did you get that part? We wronged Him, and He still loved us. Amen. But God so loved the world that He gave, which He hath purposed in Himself. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, let's be careful how we interact one with another. Amen. As sons and daughters of God. This is the dispensation of the fullness of then, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together In what? In one. Not two. In one. Gathered together in one. What? All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. God does not want a this here church and a that church and a yonder church. No. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Before you get home, leaving this building today, you will undoubtedly drive by or ride by 10 different churches. And maybe more. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ came all the way from glory. Came all the way from glory. Sent by His Father. You know why He came? To provide us with a way of going one day to be where God wanted us to be at the very beginning with Him. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Why is that difficult to understand? Verse 10 again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in how many? Verse 10. In one. All things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Even in Him. So whatever He gathers up during the lifetime of human beings that live according to His will, they're going to be right there with Him. Christ Jesus. In eternity. Ooh. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Doesn't that sound good? You've inherited something by being faithful servants of God. It should not be difficult to make a decision based upon the Word of God. If I can read it, I can heed it. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, predetermined, to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His wisdom or His own will. That we should what? Be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. God wants bragging rights. Praise of His glory. God wants bragging rights on you. My children, my beloved children, don't you see how they obey me? Now, some of us who have passed 19 about 10 or 15 years ago, your parents had a loving child. Because they had a strong whiplash. And you didn't do certain things because you didn't like the whiplash. Now, some of y'all may not know about that. I know very little about it, but peace. All is well. In whom we have obtained, again, an inheritance. Did you hear that? In whom we have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Isn't that something? Not only does He love us, not only did He not wipe us out and start all over again, He gave us a way back to Him and also an inheritance with Him. Is that too much? Is He asking too much? It's too laborious for you to treat one another the way you know the Lord would have you to treat your brothers and sisters? Is it so difficult coming back to night church? Coming to worship twice on the same day? Is that challenging? Think about it. Think about it. He's going to be the judge. You know that. He tells us ahead of time, I'll be the judge, and I'll have a book on everybody. Revelation chapter 20. I'll have a book on everybody at the judgment. If we miss heaven, no. Come back, words. If you miss heaven, yeah, that's the. You have no one to blame but yourself. He tells us what he has for us. He tells us what he wants us to do. And all we have to do is know what he wants, give him what he wants. He never gives us anything that we can't do. Because he's God and he knows everything. Knows our capability. It is he who sent his son to die for us, to purchase the church with his blood. Who are we to decide on another church? Where's your son? You sent your son to die for somebody or the whole world and establish that church? That's the devil's ploy. The devil's ploy is to keep as many folks out of heaven because he is bent on displeasing God. Read Revelation chapter 12 at your leisure. He got put out. He used to be an angel of God. He got put out. Thrown down to earth. Be careful. That we should be, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first did what? Trusted in Christ. Just obey my son. Just obey my son. Study the Bible. Learn what his son would have us to do. Just obey him. I'll bless you down here, and I'll come invite you to come and live with me forever. Forever. Never. Never. To die again. There's some more to this, but I'll wrap this up, I think. In whom you have also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Don't hesitate. Because you don't know when you might get the call to come out of time into eternity. The apostles chosen by the Son of God, handpicked, to carry his message for the first time on planet Earth. One of his apostles betrayed him. Another man was chosen to take his place in Acts chapter 1. And then on the day of Pentecost, in your Bible in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1, Jesus had gone back to glory. In chapter 2. 10 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell the hearts and minds of the 12 preachers. That's to go and preach his word throughout the then known world. But they were given strict instructions not to go anywhere until they're baptized with the Holy Spirit, which would guide them into all truths. They followed instructions. When you read again, chapters 1 and chapters 2, you see that they followed his instructions to the letter. And when they were baptized in Acts chapter 2 with the Holy Spirit, they began to preach the gospel to a motley crowd of thousands who had come to Jerusalem for a Jewish holiday. We don't know how God does some things, but in that motley crowd of thousands, they all heard as the apostle Peter, who was the chosen spokesman, preached that day. As a result of that gospel message, the Bible says, then they that heard the word gladly received it. But they who? They, about 3,000 people of the Jews of that crowd, obeyed the gospel that day. And many of the people who had come from different places, they remained in Jerusalem. Instead of going back home, they remained in Jerusalem to fellowship and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the church added people were added to the Lord's church, the church of Christ, in Acts chapter 2. And with many other words that he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this wicked generation. Where are you this morning? Where are you? You say, well, I'm in the church of Christ. Are you faithful in the church of Christ? Is God well pleased with your action? Is the God well pleased by the way you serve him? Do you put God first? And whatever you do and wherever you go, do you put God first? If you're not in the Lord's church, and if you're in another church and you believe it's the Lord's church and it's not the church of Christ, you have a Bible, you pause and I'll give you the time right now to show that. To make your presentation. That there's a different church that God authorizes that's not in the Bible. Do you want to make heaven your eternal home of abode? It's critically important that you understand who you are, whose you are. God didn't send his son to the world because he hated us. The scriptures makes that clear. He did it because of his love. He wants, in the first place, that's why he created us. To be with us and him, and we to be with him. But we sin. So he came up with a plan. And you know the plan that we've talked about. God wants us to live as his adopted children. So that one day he can bring us to glory to live with him forever. Mansions. Don't worry about a thing. I'm going to glory to be with my Father. You can make that decision today. That's your choice. He won't make you make it. But wisdom says, if I got good sense, I need to get right with God. You see, because I can talk to the Father and he hears my prayer when I live in favor with him. You don't want to hear God say on the day of judgment, depart from me. I never knew you. You want him to hear him say, come, you blessed of my Father. That's your privilege. You've heard the word of God this morning. Do you believe it? Are you godly sorrowful for the life that you've lived at this point? Yes. Acknowledge God. Confess your faults. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness. Listen now. When you obey the gospel, hear it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. What did I leave out? Repentance? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. When that happens in your life, God, you know what he does? In glory land, he adds you to his family. That's wonderful news. We think we want to go to heaven. But in too many cases, we live like we're not serious about it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Now here's the thing. You say, well, I didn't bring my baptismal garment. Don't worry about that.
The water's ready. The garments are ready. The baptizer is ready. You need anything else? The only question mark is you. Are you ready to give your life to God? Be added to His family. Live according to His, live as an obedient child. Obeying His gospel. Obeying the way He instructs you to live as His child. And then one day in the future, and probably a distant future, you'll hear Him say, come. Come, my child. Come, my son. Come, my daughter. And live with me forever. I have a new place prepared for you. Forever and ever and ever. Isn't that good news? When He created us the first time, He created us to live forever. That's why He didn't make us. That's why He didn't get some more dirt and start over again. He loves us. What's your hesitation? You in the body? Are you in the body? Oh yes, I've been baptized. Are you in favor with God in His church? Are you living a life in favor with God in His church? In His church, He makes the rules in His church. Well, you see, I have this job, and don't let a job cause you to miss heaven. Don't let a job cause you to miss heaven. Because all they're going to give you is a few dollars and then give you a certificate at the end of your 10 years or 20 years, if God blesses you to live that way, live that long. And that's all they can give you. What are you going to tell God at the judgment? Well, you see, my boss said, "Yo, what?" You don't know what faith. And another thing, when we trust God, that's what we're doing. We're trusting God. I don't know what's going to happen after I do this, but I'm going to put God first. He says He'll take care of me. I'm going to take Him at His word. Amen, church. If you're here, this Bible says be steadfast and unmovable. And you come every other Sunday and every fifth Sunday. That's not encouraging to me, to your brothers and sisters, or pleasing to God. God comes first. He blesses you for honoring Him in His word and putting Him first. If you're willing to, if you want to go to heaven, not a problem. If you don't want to go to heaven, keep doing what you're doing. That's your call. You don't have to go to heaven. But I guarantee you, in eternity, you'll wish you had of listened to that preacher that I got upset with. You'll get that at midnight. Don't worry about it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And for those of you already in the body, wisdom says it's always to have a checkup on a regular basis. So let me check up on me. Have I been faithful? Have I been a good example for my other brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? That's what we're to live in a life, live our lives in favor with God. So have I been a good example for others to follow? It's your call. It's your call. It's your call. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected. It's your choice. Then come. Come and make it right with God.
In the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil of it?
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. of the Lamb. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Let me just make one request. Trust God. That's it. Trust God. There have perhaps been individuals in this audience. I've been concerned about the way that I've lived. I've been concerned about the way that I attend. Trust God. Trust God. Because when you don't, that's a manifestation of a lack of trust in God. And the Bible clearly says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. You don't do what he says, trust him, and then leave the consequences to him. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. We'll sing one more stanza. If you need prayer, you come too.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood.
Oh, yes. Yes, there is.
Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power.
You may be seated.
Power, wonder-working power in the blood
of the Lamb.
The Lamb. There is
power,
wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you for your time and your attention.
You deserve this voice.